The charity of the month this month is the Samaritans. They're here day or night for anyone who's struggling to cope or needs someone to listen without judgment or pressure. They work tirelessly to make suicide prevention a priority. There's a link in the description if you're interested in finding out more.
Hello. I'm French, so I apologise in advance if I make any mistakes. As I said, I live in France, and this story happened to me this summer, just after the lockdown ended. I was, and am still, 19. After this lockdown ended, I went to my grandparents to spend a few weeks. I got tested before, and no problem there. My grandparents live in a small city in the north of France, and they have a dog who's quite big. When I was really young, I lived at my grandparents for a year, and at the time, the dog was only a puppy. Her name was Chippy, in French, which kinda means little devil in English, but in an affectionate way. Considering when I was living there, I played with her a lot, we were both really close, and this will have its importance later. Two of my hobbies are having long walks and running, thus every evening I was going out for a long walk with the dog. And there's a track that follows a path through the forest. Then there's a small hill, and on top of that, a big place with lots of fields. I run there a lot and I know the place. The air's fresh and the view's quite beautiful. So I was going there with the dog every day. It was also helping my grandparents to have her doing lots of exercise. The first time we went there, nothing special happened. We just enjoyed our walk. It's about 6 or 7 kilometers, so basically an hour walk. The next day, when we arrived on top of the hill, in a field, it was probably around 10 p.m, but there was some light because it's summer. There were three other people walking in the field. They were younger than me, probably 15 or 16. I also noticed they were smoking, so my guess is that they used to come here so they couldn't be seen by their parents. We went past them, and I greeted them, and they greeted back. Once again, nothing special there. For a whole week, I did this walk around the same time, 10 p.m, and passed those three guys with nothing special happening, and it was perfectly fine to me this way. My second week, as I usually went for a walk with the dog Chippy, and arrived at the fields, there was only one of the three boys. He wasn't smoking this time though. When he saw me, I was at the entrance of this field just after the little hill climb, so the entrance of the forest was just behind me. He did a sign with his hand to catch my attention and asked if I had a lighter, which I actually had in my pocket. I told him, yeah, sure. So he walked to me, hands in the pockets of his hoodie. When he came near me, for some reason I felt a shiver. It's crazy how sometimes your instincts know there's a problem, but you don't listen to it because nothing looks weird to you. I handed over the lighter when he passed by. At that moment, my dog was staring at him. Then everything happened really fast. He did a really fast movement with his hand, coming from the hoodie, and I only saw something shining. I just had a reflex of throwing myself back, so hard that I fell down actually. And I then realised it was a knife that he was holding, and he tried to stab me. What saved me is my dog, God bless her. When she saw the guy trying to stab me, she jumped up on him and he fell down. As I said before, he's a really big dog. I immediately got up on my feet and heard something from behind me, from the entrance of the forest. I saw two guys wearing animal masks running to me. They were probably the two friends. In this kind of situation, your brain just acts for itself. You don't really think at all. It's just a case of the answer was found and it was really simple. The other guy was still on the ground. I just watched my dog and told her, run. I started running and she followed me. But I heard the worst possible thing from the guy who got up. We'll catch him. Don't let him go. At this moment, I was totally terrified. I was just running and running, and I was hearing them running behind me. I was only thinking, how long are they going to follow me and who the hell are they? This was the time I was really happy to be a runner. I was clearly better than those guys, and that totally saved me, because they chased me for something that felt like an eternity to me. Fortunately, at the end of the field, there's another entrance to the forest, and this time it's a descent to the end of the road. I heard the steps of three guys vanishing as I arrived at the end of the forest. Though, I didn't stop running until I arrived at my grandparents' house and locked myself in. I caught a massive breath and gave her a huge hug. I saw in her eyes that she totally understood what happened, and I've never been so happy to have her in my life. After that, I told everything to my grandparents, and we called the police, but they didn't find anyone. I really don't know what these guys wanted, but the animal masks make it seem like it was some kind of satanic ritual. I really don't want to know anyway. I still do long walks with Chippy, the hero dog, but I now go earlier, into places with a little more people. I hope you enjoyed my story. Again, I apologise if it is a bit all over the place. I'm French and my English isn't great. And to the three guys in the forest, let's never meet again. Hey folks, I'm kind of new, and this is my first story I've submitted here, so let's get started. I must clarify, this didn't happen to only me, but my uncle too. This was after a Christmas Eve party, and when everyone went home, I decided to stay because my cousin and I were watching a movie. My uncle, who used to walk his dogs in the woods next to a park, went off to take them out. Before this, my aunt told him not to do that because it was too dark out there. It was around 4 or 5 AM. He didn't care much, and he went off anyway. My aunt was still worried, so I went along with him. Everything was quiet. My uncle and his dogs were having a relaxing walk as usual, and I wasn't really paying attention to the surroundings, when suddenly, the dogs went still. This wasn't that strange. They always stopped in their way to stare or bark at other animals, like rats or birds or insects or other dogs. However, this time it was different. When the dogs went still, my uncle and I noticed something was going wrong. The dogs weren't angry or curious, they were kind of nervous, anxious and afraid. One of the dogs, the largest one, was growling and shaking. As my uncle started to get worried about the situation, we heard it. People in the woods. We didn't see how many because of the darkness. They were saying something.
"We all gather here by the blood of..."
Then we couldn't understand.
"We..."
Then we couldn't understand again.
"Thee and I..."
And then we couldn't understand again. As my uncle and I heard that, he yelled for his dogs to follow him out of the woods. As we all left, he turned his head back and he only saw the slight movement of the branches and shrubs. Perhaps because these people were trying to hide. After all that happened, he hasn't walked his dogs near those woods, nor will he do it again when it's dark. So to the strangers in the woods, let's never meet again. So this happened a year ago, and I'm still pretty shaken by this whole event. I thought I'd tell my story. I live in the UK and it's autumn, and it gets dark around 4 PM. There was a school autumn break that week, so all the kids are at home. So that means my girlfriend's brother was home too. I had been with her a year at this point, so her family knew me pretty well, and her brother enjoyed my company. She'd recently been pretty stressed out. Her parents were going across country for the day, so she had to look after her brother. But I thought that I'd give her the day to herself so she can just cool off. I asked her parents if I could look after their son for the day instead, and they agreed. So I came around 8 AM, and they let me in before they set off. My girlfriend's brother woke up about an hour later, and she followed shortly afterwards. We went out for breakfast at a local cafe together, and went back to her house when we were done. And once I dropped her off, I took her brother to the park. We got there at about 2 PM, and the place was pretty packed. Eventually, the sun started going down, and the place was completely empty by 4 PM. I texted my girlfriend and told her we'd be home in a bit, and she said okay. I'm going to be honest, I completely lost track of time. Me and her brother were having fun, being the only two in the park. Me and her brother were stood up on this really tall climbing frame with a slide on it. It was almost pitch black at this point, so I was using my phone as a flashlight. A notification popped up on my screen, and it was my girlfriend asking where we were. I responded, "Oops, coming home now," and told her brother we had to go. He sighed and asked if we can go down the slide, so I said yes. Before I went down, I knew what the park looked like. There were streetlights all around it, benches everywhere, some trees, and places for kids to play. When I came out the slide, there was something weird. A man had appeared out of nowhere and stood beneath one of the streetlights. He had a trench coat on and a beanie hat. I immediately got my girlfriend's brother behind me and called out to the man with a friendly, "Hi there." I got a response. He started groaning. I noticed that he was swaying back and forth in the light, and he had his mouth open, drooling with a blank look in his eyes. This made me feel really uneasy. I picked the little bro up and kept checking on this guy the entire time. There was an exit to the left that led to a path back home, so I left out that way and kept checking behind me every few seconds. The guy was still stood there. The path where the guy was stood merges with a big main path if you walk out through some bushes, and so does one I walked through. I was walking down the path for about 2 minutes, periodically checking behind me, and thought I was in the clear. I wasn't. I was on a straight stretch of path with lots of streetlights when I saw him again. He was stood beneath one, looking up at it, and he was playing with something in his hands. I looked a little closer, and I realised it was a knife. I kept walking and walking, checking behind me constantly. My girlfriend's little brother was so scared, he had his head tucked into my chest. I noticed that the guy seemed to be moving into the streetlights whenever I turned around. Initially, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me, but then I started counting them and realised the two streetlights behind him had definitely turned into five. I could faintly hear the groaning noise, and he was occasionally moaning as well. I picked up the pace and turned the corner, getting closer to the last stretch of street before I got to my girlfriend's house. That was when I heard him behind the rows of bushes. That moaning noise really sounded angry now, and I heard heavy footsteps bounding down the path. The man was absolutely running. I had immediately broke into a sprint and didn't stop until I turned an alleyway at the front of the street and got behind my girlfriend's house. There's a big bush there, so I crouched down behind it and spammed her phone with messages to open the back gate. I hugged her brother close until she opened it for us and got us in quickly. It felt like years. I went to the front of the house and it confirmed that I'd managed to shake him. He was now in the street, circling where I'd been, outside the alleyway just moments ago. He was still moaning. He had that knife in his hand still. He started kicking people's bins over. I called the police immediately, but he was gone by the time they arrived, and as far as I know, they never found him. There was a similar incident near the area a few months ago I saw on Facebook, but I don't think anything came of that either. Her parents thanked me for keeping their son safe and didn't hold any ill will against me for the situation. He went back to normal pretty much the day afterwards, but he still had nightmares about the event. When my country isn't in lockdown, I'm allowed to look after him with my girlfriend, funnily enough. But we haven't been to that park ever since, and I still check over my shoulder and break into a cold sweat every time I'm alone in the street. So, I've recently discovered this page and thought I'd share my story here. I'm not sure if this belongs here, but I don't know if it would fit anywhere else. So, I lived in a pretty nice area with my husband and some family friends. We lived there for a few years with nothing bad happening around us. It felt like a very safe neighbourhood. Now for context, I'm a very short white female and considered disabled even though I look fine. But I could never really beat anyone up since my disability has limited my activity severely. Anyway, onto the story. This happened about a year before we moved, and I had some stories pop up on Facebook of some traffickers that were targeting women and children at the local store that we live right behind. I was freaked out, and so I made it a point not to go to the store without my husband. I still got the news articles about people being followed and grabbed and kidnapped from the store, but I felt pretty safe as long as I didn't go anywhere without my husband. I was going to work one day. I worked about 15 minutes away from my house. It was a call centre kind of out in the middle of nowhere. There were fields every which way. I worked the afternoon shift and was one of the last people to leave at night. I had to stop and get gas and was a little freaked out because I was scared to go anywhere without my husband, but I wasn't going to make it to work and back home. So I had no choice. I stopped at the station and was slightly relieved that it was super busy. I got out and pumped my gas when this big van pulled up in the spot next to mine. A guy got out and started pumping his own gas. Then he walked around the pump and got in between my car and me. He smiled and said, "Wow, your car's so clean. How'd you get it so clean?" I was flabbergasted at the question. My car was a mess. It was dirty with bugs and stuff on it. "Why don't you show me how you get so clean?" He reached out to touch me, but I jerked back. Another car pulled up behind me and the guy got out. I think he freaked the guy out because he walked back to his van. I quickly finished pumping my gas and got into my car, locked the doors and sped away. A few minutes later, I look out my window and the van is behind me, riding my bumper pretty much. I could see the guy smiling and laughing with some other guy. I was pretty freaked out, but figured he was going to the freeway. We passed the freeway, but he kept following me. Now I was really freaked out. The only place on the road now is my work. I called my husband, but he didn't answer since he was at work. I was freaking out, so I just picked up the speed and continued to work. I kept looking back, and the van was still there, but just a little bit further back. I made it to work. It was a large building with lots of cars in the parking lot. I parked right at the front of the doors, in a handicapped spot, and ran into the doors. I looked back through the doors, and I saw the guy stopped in front, looking pissed. I ran up to my department and went right up to a friend who was an ex-military guy. He carried a couple of guns on him at all times. I cried as I told him what happened. I got to work and was still freaked out all day. We closed and I was walking down to my car. I peeked out the windows and that's when I saw the white van. I couldn't see anyone in there and I wasn't even sure if it was the same van. I ran back to my department and told my friend what was going on. He pulled out his gun and walked me outside. The van had now moved right behind my car. My friend walked me to his car, and we got in, and he drove me right up to my car. Then he followed me all the way home and sat outside until I was inside the house. I could see the van following us, but once we got past the freeway, he turned onto it. The next afternoon, on my way to work, I passed a gas station and the van pulled out. Again, they followed me to work, but then turned away once I got to the parking lot. This went on for about a week. They would follow me to work, leave, then be outside when I was leaving, and my friend would walk me out. My buddy told me that they were probably trying to learn my schedule so they could figure out a time to jump me. He insisted that I take one of his guns, just in case he wasn't there at work to walk me out. I didn't want it though, as I was afraid that if I had it, then I'd get pulled over for something and get in trouble for having a gun not in my name and not having a permit for it. I was telling my husband that evening and how his van was still following me, and he suggested that I should call the cops and let them know. I honestly don't know why I didn't think of that. So the next morning, when I was about to get ready for work, I called. I told them everything. Then I left for work. Just like clockwork, the van pulled out of the gas station and started following me. We were on the long stretch of road that nothing was on when I spotted a car parked off to the side of the road. I passed, and then the car passed, and then the lights came on. The van was pulled over. I later found out that the men following me had several warrants for rape and attempted kidnapping. The back of the van had knives, ropes, gloves, masks, chloroform, and some other sketchy crap in it. The cops believed that I was going to be their next target. When I got to work, my friend wasn't there. He was sick. I'm so glad that I called the cops that morning, because I don't think I would have made it home if he wasn't there to walk me out. Anyway, that's my creepy story. I hope you guys liked it. It's 100% true. We have since moved out, and I live in a not as nice area, but so far, I haven't noticed any creepy people around. But I always carry pepper spray whenever I go out. When I was 13, I broke my leg in a nasty bicycle accident. I ended up in a plaster cast from my hip to my ankle for 8 weeks. As it was coming up to Christmas, my younger brother wanted to go to the theatre to see the Christmas show. I was 13, moody and accompanied with a bright pink cast everywhere I went. I was not feeling it. My dad, never one for going to the theatre, offered to take me to Pizza Hut instead. It was a rare opportunity to spend time with my dad, who had often been working very long hours. He worked as a police officer, which at the time, I didn't really take an interest in what he did. We had a great evening, and we came back to the car with full bellies and some leftover pizza. I remember babbling away to my dad, as I had been the whole night, enthralled to have my dad's undivided attention. After a while, I noticed he wasn't really responding anymore. We were fairly near home, but sat on the main roads before we turned off to our housing estate. At first, I thought he'd just lost interest, but I glanced across and noticed that he was permanently looking in the rearview mirror. I asked what was up, and he said, That car behind us has been following us all the way from Pizza Hut. I glanced behind and commented that we were still on the main roads, and I couldn't see that this was an unusual route for this guy to take. He said I need to see wherever he is. I don't want to lead this guy to our house. I rolled my eyes. My dad was always paranoid about this kind of stuff. We wouldn't even tell our friends we'd gone on holiday because he was convinced the house would get broken into whilst we was away. We were coming up to a residential area before ours that I knew from doing a newspaper round. I suggested the street coming up on the left, as it loops round in a horseshoe shape through an estate and brings you back out to the same main road we was on, just further up. Nobody would take this road to come out onto the main road again. My dad turned off, and so did the car. I will never forget that feeling, that sinking feeling as I watched the car sharply turn behind ours. The car placed its full beams on. I let out a gasp and I looked at my dad. He'd gone into work mode. He had completely shut me out. He accelerated down the street, and as we came to the main road, I saw there were many cars still on the main road. He pulled straight out onto the main road, meaning the car coming on the main road needed to brake sharply and held down their horn at us. I kept my eyes on the road ahead of us, breathing deeply as my dad weaved in and out of the lanes. A part of me was completely terrified, and a part of me was still convinced that this wasn't really happening, that he had exaggerated or mistaken this. He wasn't really following us. I dared to look in the side view mirror, and saw it was a different car behind us. I felt myself relax a little. We turned left at the coming roundabout, giving very little room to anyone, and a few moments of holding my breath, thinking we were going to hear the sound of metal or metal. The street we had turned onto was slightly quieter than the road previous. I slowly glanced into the side mirror, and it was a different car behind us. I sighed relief, and thought that it had been really my dad's imagination. Suddenly, the rearview mirror became a little bit more illuminated again, and I awkwardly turned in my seat to see a car pull out sharply from behind the car behind us, and pull quickly into behind our cars again. I looked at my dad again. He grabbed his phone from his pocket and told me to call someone in particular in his phone and put it on speaker. My hands were shaking. I could barely press the buttons. A cheerful voice answered before he could say anything else, and my dad quickly summarised what's happened. There was a pause. I could hear the voices speaking in the background, radios beeping and answering through radios. My dad barked at me to keep naming the streets we were on to the guy on the phone, as my dad randomly turned down the streets, trying to keep to the main roads. I'm randomly calling names and trying to remember to see the direction we was heading in. The car was so close behind us and completely blinding any view behind us. All I could think was please don't hit us. If we crash, we can't run. What the hell can I do? My leg had only just been blasted. I knew I stood no chance. I suddenly wondered if they were getting close enough to take a shot at us. This, for me, was unthinkable. It was England. This isn't the norm. Why the hell would someone shoot us? We continued to weave down streets and random turns as I tossed around in the front seat, clutching onto